welcome to Book Solid. I'm your host, Soraya, and today I'm joined by fellow bookstagrammer Tabitha from at Bookmark by Tab, and we are going to be chatting about The Mothers by Britt Bennett.
Spoiler alert. Hey guys, just as a heads up, we will be revealing spoilers in this episode. If you haven't yet read the book or seen the show or film, this is a courteous reminder to proceed with caution.
Thank you, Tabitha, so much for taking the time to join today.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me here.
And before we jump in, like with every guest I've had this season, I just want to give you a chance to kind of tell everyone a little about you and your bookstagram and like what do you read, what do you post, things like that.
Yes, my name's Tabitha. My bookstagram handle is at Bookmark by Tab. I post really about just about everything, but regarding books, I kind of cover all different types of genres and different types of authors. What is important or what I think is a little different between my bookstagram page is that while I do review and talk about books, I also usually post encouraging content or videos, just kind of uplifting others and encouraging them that no matter what they're going through, that they can still push through. So I kind of mix that in with reviewing and talking about books.
Yeah, I've noticed that on your page. And I really like you posted one. I think it was about stood out to me specifically. I think it was on like feeling like the need to be perfect or something like that. I think it was a reel. And I was just like, especially when it comes to bookstagram content, I don't post near enough as I should on our page, but I do feel that like, I'm like everything I post, the caption has to be just right. The picture has to be just right. And then I end up just not posting anything at all because it's just way too much pressure.
Yeah, that struggle is real. I think we've all been there. I sometimes go in spaces where I feel overwhelmed with having to make everything perfect. So I'll take a break. And you'll probably notice that if you engage with my content or follow is that I do take breaks at times just to kind of reset. But again, like I've said before, you don't have to be perfect. Everything doesn't have to be perfect. Sometimes people engage with your content better when you're just kind of being open and honest and vulnerable with about what you're going through.
So. I think it just makes it more like relatable and authentic because like no one's walking through life being perfect all the time. So yeah, it's very refreshing, I should say. That's what I really like about your content.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
So The Mothers, I'm really excited because this book, like the cover's gorgeous and it's been staring at me on my shelf for like 2 years. And I'm really glad that you wanted to do this one because I was like, finally I have a reason to read it. So I will let you first, just if you want to give me your general thoughts while reading it or your overall feelings, then we can move into kind of specific stuff.
Agree with you on the cover. The cover is beautiful and very bright. Britt Bennett knows what she's doing, or at least the person who designs the covers of her books knows what she's doing. But as far as the book, I enjoyed it. There are definitely a lot of different topics that we can discuss. But for me, it was very apparent, this running theme of being a mother throughout the book, even being a young mother or a mother who maybe chose to give up their child or a mother who chose to leave this world early and leave behind their child. There was that very apparent theme throughout the book. And so I liked how Britt Bennett tackled that subject in this book. There were the characters. I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit more, but I think they were kind of hit or miss for me. I enjoyed some of the characters, but there were definitely a lot of things that I would have liked to see developed more with the characters throughout the book. It wasn't a very fast-paced moving book for me, but it still kept me engaged. So I wanted to see what happened. I wanted to see the story unfold and what would come about each of the characters throughout the book, but it was one that I could put down and then come back to later.
Yeah, I completely agree. And going into it, I had to tell myself, like, don't compare it to The Vanishing Half because I enjoyed that book so much. And I knew, like, it was just going to happen. So the whole time, like, just think of this as being, like, its own piece of work or just not comparing the style of the writing or anything like that. I mean, I know it's still Brit, but, you know, authors can change their style quite a bit between books. And I think had I read this before The Vanishing Half, I probably would have enjoyed it more. But after, like, seeing what her work can be, I was like, this one, it kind of, I didn't dislike it, but it missed the mark in some regards for me because I feel like there were a lot of really important and interesting topics or ideas that were posed throughout the book, but they just weren't explored enough. And the characters felt kind of stagnant. Like, that was kind of my biggest gripe with it. I just felt like there wasn't any growth or change for these characters that we follow from like age, what, 17-ish to their late 20s, maybe early 30s.
Completely agree. You would think that with the book, or with Britt being the way she did do The Vanishing Half, you wanted to see more character development. But that kind of reminds me, it's a good debut novel, right? That was her first novel. And it makes sense. I did the same thing. I try not to compare it to The Vanishing Half because I really love that book. So I really focused on just the mothers. And in taking it standalone and looking at it without comparing to The Vanishing Half, I was like, it makes sense. It makes sense that this was her first novel. There were definitely things that she could have improved upon, especially in the character development. It didn't feel like we saw these characters grow by the end of the book. But I would say it was pretty solid for it to be her first book.
That's a fair point. Like, it is a solid debut. And I guess that's just more of me doing the comparison because she had time to like learn and grow with her second book. So it is like, if you look at it just in that way, I think it is... It achieves, I think, what it set out to do, which is really yes. all you can ask for from a book. I wanted to kind of talk about your point of what it means to be a mother. Like, I feel like that the book poses that question, and there are a lot of ways to be a mother and to be mothered. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the person who gave birth to you. And I think we see that like with the relationships between Aubrey and her mother, Luke and his mother, Nadia and her mom, Nadia and the child she didn't have. Like, I really think that would be kind of a great thing for us to dive into a little bit.
Let's get into it. And I think everyone might have their different definition of a mother, right? Whether you're biological mother, or adoptive mother, or mothered a child that you chose to give up or chose not to keep. I think it can be a complicated definition, but when I think about it, I think of it in the terms of someone, you know, caring for someone, being there for every step of the way, really sacrificing themselves for that child, that person that they see as their own, even if it's not someone that's biologically their own or someone that they're choosing to raise. And I think we see all those different varieties of mothers throughout this book, right? I mean, like you said, between Nadia and her, she chose to terminate her pregnancy, but there were things that I could see with her throughout the book that were very motherly or mother-like. You know, she chose to terminate for her own personal reasons, you know, maybe didn't think that she could be a good mother, but she was also struggling with the loss of her own mother. Mm-hmm. And so as we go on that journey with Nadia, a lot of the things that she talks about makes me feel that she was almost acting in a motherly way. So that's one thing that sticks out. And then I think of Aubrey. I think of Aubrey and everything that happened with her, Luke, and Nadia. But in some way, despite how her feelings, it seems that she focused more on what was maybe best for her child, especially in making the decision to reconcile with Luke. So those are just some examples that I see that kind of define what a mother is.
Yeah, I think, and I wanted, what I'm about to say is pre the affair, because that was a very difficult plot point. But when you said that Nadia acts in ways that are very motherly, she almost felt to me very motherly in her relationship with Aubrey. And I feel like the same could be said in the way that Aubrey treated her. Like, they were both at a very vulnerable place in their lives and very much provided what the other was looking for at that time. And I loved seeing their relationship grow and develop. So that's why I was so gutted with the affair, because it kind of undid that build up that we had for like the first, I would call it, what, third of the book. I felt like their relationship was really special. Like, it was a really beautiful friendship, and I just loved in the way that they were kind of able to bring each other out of these I don't want to say darker places, but like a moment of turmoil. I don't know. They could be like some kind of ray of light. And one relationship I didn't touch on before that I wanted to was also the one between Aubrey and her sister. I'm blanking on her name now. Is it Monique or was that her sister's girlfriend?
Oh, I'm bad with names when I read books.
We're just going to say.
I've never remembered all the names I've done so far. I have so far. I don't remember her sister's name, but I do recall the relationship.
Yeah, I'll just call her Aubrey's sister. But that was another one where I felt like, you know, your definition of motherhood, of being there for someone and, you know, being willing to make sacrifices and put in the time is like exactly what Aubrey's sister did for her. More of a mother to her than her own mother ever was, or their own mother ever was.
Yes, which brings up a point when you talk about the relationship between Aubrey and Nadia. Their relationship, I feel like, was something that we all long for, maybe with friends or people
Absolutely.
In our life. Just that comfort, that support, that trust, having someone there for you through everything. And it makes me think about what you said, and the fact that she was acting very motherly toward Aubrey, not Nadia was. Is there a possibility that maybe their friendship wasn't the healthiest, right? They relied on each other so much and they supported each other and they were there for. And I think that's something we all long for. But if Nadia treated her more motherly, I wonder, were they kind of clinging to each other because of how vulnerable they were? And so in a way, it just brings up the question, is their relationship something that wasn't necessarily healthy? Or, you know, they were young or teenagers, it's kind of something that like they just clung to each other at that time. And then obviously with time, maybe things separated. I don't know. It just brings up a point, I think, of discussion.
No, yeah, I think that's really interesting. Like the idea of them using each other as a coping mechanism, because as you were saying that, what it made me think of is like Nadia she clings to Luke. After what happens with her mom, she's like obviously hurt and grieving and feeling all around just kind of lost, I think. Mm-hmm. And so that's when Luke comes into the picture. And then once she chooses to terminate and he leaves her in the way that he does, she goes back to feeling everything she was feeling before she kind of had him as a distraction. Then Aubrey mm-hmm. fills that void. But then as soon as Luke re-enters her life, she kind of lets go of Aubrey. It's like she is yeah. kind of just looking for a buoy so she doesn't have mm-hmm. to deal with everything going on in her life.
Yeah, they're distractions in a way. Mm-hmm. And I think we can all, you know, speak for ourselves, but it's easy to get distracted by people and how they make you feel than really dealing with what is at issue.
Absolutely. And that was something too throughout the book, is I really wanted her to work through the feelings that she had about her mom's death. And oh, that's what I wanted to bring that up too, when you were talking about like her decision to terminate and feeling like she wouldn't be a good mother. The guilt that she carried until the book ended, it seemed like she was still carrying this guilt of feeling like she's the reason that her mom didn't get to have the life that she should have or could have had, and maybe yeah. not wanting to like put that guilt on her child.
Yes.
Because
or almost in a way have it repeat in some weird mm-hmm. way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm with you, though. I kept feeling like I wanted more with Nadia addressing the issues around her mother and her mother choosing to leave or unalive herself, her mother choosing to die in that way. And I wanted more. And I felt like the book kept dropping little nuggets throughout the book that they were, or Britt Bennett kept dropping little nuggets throughout the book about how maybe we were going to get to see that. Maybe we would get a little bit more of her kind of diving into these issues with her mom and how she feels. But I feel like it just didn't happen.
Yeah. Like her finding her mom's Bible, or will Luke giving it back to her? Mm-hmm. Then like nothing ever, like she said, she was reading it and she saw the notes her mom had written in the margins and stuff. And I was like, oh, maybe something's going to come of that. I'm not saying finding out why her mother chose to do what she did would have been the closure she needed. I don't think we need to go. I'm not saying that, but just learning more about her mom in general, I thought maybe would come from getting the Bible or some progress and working through those very complicated emotions that she understandably has. But nothing really did, like beyond her saying, oh, I read the notes in the margins. Like, I don't remember ever hearing about that Bible again.
Yeah, no, I don't either.
So that felt like a red herring kind of, or it just contributed to that feeling of, by the end of the book, I felt like things were just left unfinished, I guess.
Yes, I felt the same way by the end of the book.
And oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think especially with them, we don't really know what happens to Nadia at the end of the book, right? We got it told from someone else's perspective. And so I just wanted more. I felt like there were more things to be resolved with Nadia, and we didn't get to see that happen by the time the book ended.
No, we did not. And I also, like, not even just Nadia, I wanted the people in their community to grow in the way that they looked at Elise. I think that was Nadia's mom's name, and her death, and the way they kind of vilified her. And I mean, I understand it was like through the context of their church, and that's why like some of them were saying the things they were saying, like, but I think it was Luke's mom, Latrice, I believe was her name, saying like, oh, the devil comes for all of us, but Elise just wasn't strong enough. That line like gutted me, because for them to actually think that and to like be blaming her even in death when they have no idea the things that were going on, you know, that I hope to see some growth from the church in some way, but even through the end of the book, they were still kind of talking poorly about her or judging her, and by association, kind of judging Nadia as well, and not even considering the fact that she lost her mother. I feel like no one ever tries to understand what she must be feeling, but they just continue to like place blame on Nadia for behaving the way she's behaving.
Yes, I agree with you that I remember reading that line and being like, oh, and feeling just so many different feelings, because of, we know that there's a stigma around kind of mental health or mental health issues, or even just suicidal ideation or thoughts. There's a stigma about talking about those topics and depression in the church. And so to see that brought up in the book, you would hope by the end of the book, there maybe would be a little more compassion or empathy, or maybe just a little bit change of thought and why someone would choose to make that decision, but there wasn't. So I'm with you. I remember reading that line and being like, oh, we've got to do better.
We have got to do better. And it seemed like Nadia could do she could not do anything right in their eyes. I mean, I guess towards the end when she started kind of taking over for her dad and picking up everyone and like helping more with the church because he was injured. But like, I feel like people judged her for leaving. They judged her for dating. They judged her for having sex. They judged her for being like, for like after her mom's death, being kind of closed off and reserved and not wanting to spend time with any of them. Like, let her grieve. Like, she just could not do anything right.
Yes. It's like they were judging her for everything. And, you know, I think society has a bad way of dealing with grief, right? We don't necessarily understand it unless you've been through it. And grief looks different on everybody in different forms. And so I think reading the book, it was clear she was grieving and she was just trying to figure these things out. But the church and the people and the community weren't necessarily open to that or empathizing with her and seeing that. They were just judging her for all these decisions that she was making.
And speaking of the blame game, I want to talk about Luke's mom a little bit and Nadia's pregnancy and her decision to terminate. And Miss Latrice, she just did the thing that some people do in that treating, like everyone acted like it was on Nadia and Nadia alone that she was pregnant. She judged Nadia like crazy for having sex with her son, as if her son did not also partake in this activity. Like, it takes two people to make a child.
Yes, that was very frustrating, because I think I remember a part in the book where Latrice and the dad, they obviously give the money to Luke to give to Nadia to terminate the pregnancy. And they say something along the lines, in a way, I think they almost had hope Luke maybe said no or somehow didn't take the money. But at no point in the book, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like we don't ever see his parents really get frustrated or upset with him, Luke. Latrice ends up taking it all out on Nadia. And it was frustrating because I think as a female, you know, sometimes it's easier for the woman to get the blame for all of the actions, whether it's in an affair, whether it is bringing a child in at a young age into this world, whatever it is, when we know that the male in this instance had, like you said, a hand in it, is just as equally as responsible. But for some reason, his mother, in a way, did not show that or didn't feel that way. She put it all on Nadia. Like, she's the one who kind of trapped her son. And then obviously with everything that happened down the road with Luke when he was with Aubrey.
Yeah, like, this was all according to her evil plan. She seduced him into making these decisions as if... Also, Nadia was 17 and Luke was 21 when this happened.
Yes, that's true. And it's what, a 5-year, I'm doing my math wrong. It's a few years, 4 years. And so, you know, once you get over 18 or 20, you know, people like 4 years, not a big deal. But when you think of she was in high school and then you think of where he is, a little matured out of high school, while he's still young, I feel like the responsibility is on him, right? Not really on Nadia. She's the younger one. She's 17. If anyone had a responsibility to kind of stop this or know better, I feel like it was on Luke.
Yeah, like she is a minor in this situation. And yeah, he absolutely should have known better. And for even him to try to place the blame on her, like, can we just talk about him leaving her at the clinic? Mm-mm. And how awful that was. Like, to me, I was like, there's no, like, I don't know how Britt Bennett thinks she's going to redeem him in my eyes, because
she tried. Yeah, she tried. I was surprised, but not surprised. I think I was torn, because part of me, with how much I did always feel that Nadia liked him a lot more than he did her. I never felt that it was equal, at least in the beginning of the book. And so I wasn't surprised in the instance of like, okay, this boy, young boy, ends up in this situation and just doesn't want to deal with it, so he doesn't show up. Not surprised. But then, so I was just like, of course, what to expect? I was just frustrated by that. But then when we get a little more into the book and get Luke's perspective on it, I tried to look at him a little bit differently and just think about what he was thinking in that moment. Does not excuse what he did, does not excuse him not showing up, does not excuse him at least communicating with Nadia how he's feeling and what he was or was not going to do. But it definitely offered a different perspective than what I was assuming from the beginning, was just like, okay, he didn't care. He got in trouble. It's being taken care of. And that is that.
Admittedly, okay, I did forget that he was dealing with a lot of emotions about it as well, like that he had wanted to keep the baby. I actually forgot about that, which does add another layer to the situation. Like, so he was grieving in his own way as well. But like you said, communicate. Like, I know they're young and I know people act like communication is the hardest thing on this planet. But, oh, and the fact that when she sees him at that party, what he said to her too was, I don't need all this drama.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
Like, drama that you took part in or that you helped create? Like, what drama?
And she had just had the procedure that day. You had bailed on her at the clinic that day. And the first thing you're going to say to her is, I don't need all this drama?
Yeah, which, that's what I say. I was kind of torn, because it's just like, was that a defense mechanism? Was that just saving face, right? Really hiding your emotions, which we could probably spend hours talking about, you know, toxic masculinity and just kind of as being a man, not being able to show your emotions or talk about how you truly feel. And so
exhibits so much, like he says a lot of stuff throughout the book where I was like, oof,
being defensive or just really problematic. So to me, I was torn between all of that. I was really torn, because I was just like, you're making excuses, you're acting this way to Nadia, but then on the other side, you're talking about you really wanted to keep the baby and how you wish she kept the baby and how you were grieving the loss of this baby in a way, but all of your actions and words said otherwise. Mm-hmm. So it was a struggle.
Yeah, my biggest complaint with Luke, aside from that, my biggest issue with him is he is so just like malleable. Like he doesn't make any decisions on his own ever. He's just wishy-washy and he's like leaving Nadia at the clinic, even though he loves her. He like didn't have the courage to stay with her and stand up for their relationship or stand up for her with his parents. He just let them give him the money and he let his mom treat her any which way.
Yeah.
And then he cheats on Aubrey with Nadia while continuing to try for a baby with Aubrey because, you know, I don't know, he's trying to chase that high of his youth, or he always kind of loved Nadia, whatever his reason is. Then going back to Aubrey only once he's like, oh, Nadia doesn't want to be with me. Like, he just doesn't make any decisions and he's cowardly. Like he doesn't stand up for anything, and that drives me nuts about him.
Yes, 100%. It's just like, make a decision and stick with it, because then it has me questioning, did you really love Nadia, or did you now like being with Nadia because you were with Aubrey and you're not really supposed to be with Nadia, and then like you said, chasing the high of your youth, and then when Nadia didn't want you, you went back with Aubrey. So which one is it?
Like, whatever's convenient at the moment. And he is like now that I'm talking about it, he is straight up chasing that high, because he talks about how once he's cheating with Nadia, he starts working out again, he gets on his football diet, so he even says to look how he looked when they slept together in the past.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm just like, dude, you are gross. But
yeah,
Aubrey did not deserve
that. Aubrey and Nadia are probably better without you.
Honestly, though, like, both of you, please. And it makes me kind of sad because there's that one chapter towards the end where she kind of alludes to what the future looks like for Aubrey and Luke and their child. Mm-hmm. And it says something like, the daughter who always wonders like why her parents don't seem like they actually love each other.
Yeah.
Which I hate, like, they should have just not been together or reevaluated the relationship. Like, even though she was pregnant, I understand like they wanted that child and like they can still have that child and co-parent, but I don't think that their marriage, Britt Bennett even says like the marriage was never the same after that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised. I don't know.
Yeah, like, how can it be?
Expect it. And I really feel like Aubrey just made it work for the sake of the child. I think if she was not pregnant, it would have been a different outcome.
Ooh, and you saying that, like her making it work for the sake of the child, is really interesting. And I feel like maybe you said this at the beginning. Now I don't remember. But she probably did make that sacrifice to give her child the life that she never got to have. The stability of having two parents that love you, living in the same household where you're safe and taken care of. I wonder if she did like make the sacrifice she wished her own mother had made.
Yeah. What I can appreciate about what Britt Bennett did with this book was none of those thoughts, these discussions we're having about kind of like the sacrifice and being a mother, was very blatant, was said specifically from any of these characters' mouths, but with their actions and with kind of everything around it, the subcontext and everything that they go through, you feel that they do these things. You feel that they did sacrifice in this motherly way for someone else. And so I kept thinking, why did Britt Bennett name the book The Mothers? And that's the only thing that I keep coming back to, is kind of this running underlying theme of sacrifice that typically we associate with people who are motherly or mothers.
Definitely. And I love doing that. Like, because I know sometimes titles don't have, they don't have anything to do with the book. I know that sometimes a title is just a title, but I like to kind of think about like, what was the inspiration behind this and where can we pull from this? And like Nobody's Magic is another one that we're doing this season. And I felt like the title of the book was very evident in some of the themes. And I just love seeing it all come together.
Full circle. Yes, I agree with you. Sometimes it means absolutely nothing, but when it kind of ties in, it just feels like, you know, you found something. It's like, oh, exciting.
We haven't really talked about Aubrey all that much. I guess just her relationship with Luke. Did you have like any thoughts about Aubrey? Did you like her? Did you dislike her?
I really liked her at first. I really did. I kind of felt like I saw it coming, like, oh, she's going to be head over heels for Luke, and he supposedly has changed for her, and then it's all going to come crashing down, as we all typically know it does. I did like her at first. As the book went on, as the story developed, I don't know that I liked her as much as I did in the beginning. I was happy she stood her ground with Nadia, but I was disappointed that she stood her ground so much with Nadia, drew those lines, especially because they were best friends, but then didn't draw all those same lines with Luke. And I mean, there's different things to consider, right? He's the father of her child, and this was her best friend. So if she has to choose, you know, she maybe makes a decision that is the best decision for her future child. But I was disappointed with that. And I feel like as we just kept going throughout the book, if her character fell flat for me. It like started off really high, really liking her, seeing all these things about who she is. And I think as we kept going throughout the book, it just fell flat. Like I didn't see any new developments with her. I didn't really see any maturity. It was just kind of like, okay, she's going through these motions and just making decisions.
That is exactly what I wrote in my notes about liking her at first. Like she seemed like a really strong character, just as kind of emotionally complex as Nadia, which is what I enjoyed with Nadia's character, how much there kind of was to work through there. And then somewhere around two-thirds of the way through the book, she felt like a completely different person to me. Like, I couldn't understand a lot of her behavior. She, like, this whole thing with her and the Marine, I guess, was maybe supposed to show us that, like, yes. Was there something lacking in her relationship with Luke?
I was confused by
that. Yeah, I was confused, too. Like, because she seemed much more, like, physically attracted. Because I know because of what happened, like, the assault she went through when she was a child, that she had a lot of reservations about being intimate with someone else, understandably.
Yes.
But she seemed like it was a few days before her wedding and they hung out with those Marines and she like made out with him in the bathroom and even like considered going further, but then I think stopped herself because like she heard Nadia calling for her or something like that. He didn't have a condom or something.
Yes, he said he didn't have a condom, and then she was just like, all right. And then I think it ended
right. Yeah, there. And then, but as much as she loved Luke, she talks about how she was never really comfortable having sex with him. But this was someone she had met that day who she was like ready to have sex in a beach bathroom with. And then even when they reconnect later, it still seems like there's those flares of attraction. So it was just interesting to me, like for all the love she had for Luke, it just never translated in a physical way, or she didn't feel comfortable with him in that way. And I feel like from the jump, we should have known something was lacking there.
Yeah, and I want to know why. I don't know that we ever really got that why, right?
I don't think so.
We know, obviously, about the assault that took place, and that, like you said, understandably so, would cause her to be uncomfortable. But it was like she was specifically uncomfortable with Luke, because then there's that instance, and again, they meet in the future, and again, the way it's written, like all that flair, there's their flirting going on. There's definitely some chemistry there. So yeah, that's a good point to bring up. I don't know that we ever were told why there was this disconnect between her and Luke, physically, but not with another person that she just met.
And I know later, like as she's starting to put the puzzle pieces together, like when she finds out that Nadia and Luke, before she knew about Nadia's pregnancy, but she knew they had dated, but she didn't know about the pregnancy. She started feeling kind of insecure because she was comparing herself to Nadia and feeling like, oh, I'm not going to be whatever she was to him. Like, I'm not as sexual as her, or I don't think I'm as sexy, or I'll be as good at sex as she was. So I know that played a role later on. But I mean, even from the beginning, she seemed very hesitant with Luke. Maybe deep down in her gut, she knew she couldn't trust this man.
Yes, I was just about to say, you know, we know. It's that woman's intuition.
When a man is just not right.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
I would have been much happier seeing Nadia leave, or not Nadia, Aubrey leave Luke for that Marine guy.
I know, you know, I really thought we were going to get like a story with them, an affair with them. I thought that's where it was going to go. Is it bad if I say I was slightly disappointed?
No, because I was kind of ready for it too. Like, I mean, I'm not being like, yeah, everyone just cheat on each other. But like, they seemed far more compatible, I would say, or even happier with one another than she did with Luke. And she's wild to me because she knew about the affair for a while before she said anything to Luke.
Yeah, that's true. And you know why I think I also wanted to see something develop between her and the Marine is because I was like, maybe we'll get the why. Maybe we'll understand why is there a disconnect between Luke, but for some reason there's no disconnect here between her and the Marine. So I'm thinking, oh, as this relationship supposedly develops, maybe we'll get some insight, but it never happened. And then we never got some insight.
So. I feel like Luke is just never going to work with anybody because he's so emotionally immature. And maybe that, like, that's what the Marine had that Luke was lacking. I feel like in that one day she spent with him, she had like a better idea of who he is and like what his character is than you could with years with Luke, because he's just so wishy-washy. He doesn't have like strong morals, it seems, or anything he's like hard and fast on or has hard and fast opinions about.
Yeah, that's true.
But that Marine guy, I'm like, I know exactly who he is. Like, he seemed like an authentic person, true to who he is.
Oh, let's tell Britt Bennett she needs to write a book.
Justice for this Marine guy, who I can't even remember his name, but
I know. We'll just call him the Marine.
Yeah, Aubrey, I wanted better for her. I really did.
I did too. And unfortunately, she didn't get better.
I guess, like, sometimes that's how life is, but.
Yeah, very true.
So are there any other themes or topics that you want to cover that we haven't gotten to yet?
I'm going to pull up some notes I took to see. Mm-hmm. Oh, I did want to, while we know probably where this is coming from, I did want to talk more about how did you feel about Nadia's jealousy about Aubrey? Like, this is someone who's her best friend, but as she knows about the relationship between Aubrey and Luke, it is clear that she's jealous in what she observes, what she says, what she does. And I kind of just wanted to discuss that. Like, how did you feel about that? Her being best friends with her, but in the same way also being jealous.
Yeah, I can appreciate what she's feeling. Like, if you remove it being her best friend from the picture and just look at like the person that Luke is with Aubrey versus who he was with Nadia, I can completely understand why she felt jealous and hurt, because she wanted to be the person that he was better for. She wanted to be the person he could change for. And knowing like he could be quote unquote a better man. I mean, he wasn't really, we come to find out, but to her, she didn't know that yet. And so she's like, he could be a better man, but he chose not to be that for me. And he chose it for someone else. So like, why? And so I get the resentment, the jealousy, the feelings that would come up from that. But her knowing Aubrey, her knowing everything Aubrey's been through, like I wish she could have worked through those feelings or dealt with them enough that she could have been happy for her friend, because Aubrey did deserve to be happy. Aubrey had no idea about her history with Luke. It's not like she was being like vindictive or, you know, going out of her way to try to like be with the guy she used to be in love with. And A, she should have been honest about her relationship with Luke. Completely honest.
Yes.
And B, like, you gotta, I mean, she had Shoddy, I think that's how you pronounce his name. I didn't listen to it on audio, but like, he seemed like a great guy too. Like, I don't know that he tried to be there for her, and they were together for what, 4 years? Like, she should have just let that be in the past and moved on, in my opinion.
Yes, I agree. I think it shows more. She really didn't heal from the situation. She never healed from that relationship. She never healed from how things ended with Luke and her. And I think that's evident when she kind of talks about, oh, what if she had decided to keep the baby and what would their life look like, right? And so she, in a way, is reminded of what could have been with her and Luke through Aubrey and Luke's relationship. But you mentioned something, oh, she should have been upfront and told her. Why do you think she didn't tell her? Especially because it had been so many years and it's not like her and Luke were talking or had some relationship. So why not tell Aubrey about, hey, you don't even have to go into all the details maybe, but at least tell her, hey, we were in a relationship at some point before.
There's a part of me that wonders, because I mean, a lot of that, the emotion she's feeling is jealousy, right? There's a part of me that wonders, like, did she like knowing that she had him first, maybe, or that they had something that Nadia didn't know about? Nadia never thinks this flat out, but is there a part of her that's like, okay, yeah, you know, you think he's so wonderful and he's so great, but he and I have done or had things that you will never know about, or like, I had him first, or we had something special too, like, you're not the only one who got to have him. I don't know. Is that too petty?
I don't know. I don't know that it's too far off if we're being honest, right? If Nadia was to be honest, maybe there was some part of her that in a way she felt special knowing that secret that her and Luke had and knowing that Aubrey didn't know it, right? But then to me, that just goes back, if that's how she truly felt, she never really moved on from that relationship with Luke. She never moved on from Luke.
No, she didn't.
Like, that's what it comes down to.
And maybe because they, and I'll say, like, maybe for Nadia too, like, the official party line was, I'm not telling Nadia because I don't want to hurt her. But under that, it may have been something she just wanted to hold on to for, you know, whatever reason, if it helped her jealousy or gave her something to feel a little superior in the situation. But she and Luke, like, there was never any closure for them, I don't think. And maybe that's part of why it was so hard for her to leave, because, or for her to move on, because she just picks up and leaves and they never speak again until the bridal shower or engagement party or something like that.
Yes. Do you think they got closure at the end?
Again, no. Like, I feel like I would not be shocked if come 5, 7, 10 years from then, like, because basically it was them sleeping together or having the affair for I don't know how many months. And then it was just a repeat of the same cycle, except reverse. Mm-hmm. Like, back then, Luke couldn't tell Nadia how he really felt. They broke up. This time, Nadia couldn't tell Luke how she really felt. They broke up. So no one learned anything.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Like, how long is this cycle going to keep going? Like, somebody has to grow up.
Something has to give, right? But, I mean, I guess Nadia made the decision and kind of ending it with Luke and never really speaking with him again. And then as a result, Luke tries to make it work with Aubrey. But it does make you think, if Nadia did not make that decision, did not leave, what would Luke have done, right? Would he have stayed with Aubrey still and tried to make it work? Or would he have really tried to make it work with Nadia and then just still be there for his child?
I feel like he probably, if Aubrey hadn't been pregnant, I feel like he would have stayed with Nadia. But her being pregnant complicates it in that the same way Aubrey's trying to be what she didn't have, I think Luke is trying to compensate for the child he didn't get to have also with Nadia. So now he feels this obligation, like, okay, I have a real, I have a chance here to be the father I wanted to be back then. And so, but again, like, do you want to be somebody's second choice? Like, for Aubrey, I could not spend my life with someone knowing I was the backup plan because the original fell through, you know? Like, how do you ever move on from that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'd agree with you that I don't know that I would be okay with being the backup, right? But maybe for Aubrey, she looks at it differently. Maybe it's not so much more about her being the backup in this relationship with her and Luke, but just more about making sure her child grows up in this stable environment. And then, see, we just come back full circle to sacrifice, right? So that type of sacrificial love, what people are willing to do for someone else.
It is a very, like, cyclical story, which is, it's interesting because it's told in kind of multiple timelines, but it all does kind of come back to where it started in a way.
Yeah.
So I see we're coming up on time. So we always, for closing thoughts, I've thought about this because we always ask, like, oh, would you recommend the book to someone? And how, you know, did you enjoy it? And it's usually pretty evident by the end of the episode if we enjoyed it. But the would you recommend it question is interesting because I don't think I'd ever tell someone not to read something just because I have no idea what they do or don't like or what will resonate. Yeah. I guess I'll maybe change it to, like, how willing would you be to recommend it? If someone was like, I'm going on vacation, I can only bring 2 books, would you tell them to bring this one?
No, not if it was only 2 books. I would not recommend The Mothers. I might recommend The Vanishing Half. And not to compare, but, like, I enjoyed the book. I read it. It was good. If someone were to ask me, should I read it? I would say yes. I would never say don't pick up the book. Mm-hmm. I think that everyone would get something from it and that it would be a good read. But am I telling you to move this to the top of your TBR shelf or list and pick this one up next? No, but I did enjoy it myself. And I still think it's a solid read. I also think that if people have read The Vanishing Half, they should not go into The Mothers with the same expectations that they had for The Vanishing Half.
Yes, yes, yeah. Like you said, I think someone, you will get something from this book. Like, I think everyone will get something from it. And it's not like I had to like force myself to read it. We've covered once for the show where like it was a chore to get it done.
Oh, no.
This was not like that. It wasn't like I was like bursting at the seams to finish it, but you know, it was fine. And like you said, like if you have read Vanishing Half, get that out of your head. Let this be, you know, what it is, and just try to appreciate it for being the work that it is. If you haven't read The Vanishing Half and you're interested in Britt Bennett, read this first. That would be my advice.
Completely agree. And I would sit here and say that whatever book or work of art that Britt Bennett would put out, I would buy.
She's an auto buy.
Yeah, I enjoyed both books enough to be like, I would buy the next one.
Because she does have a really, and I wrote that in my notes too, like she has a knack for really well-developed characters. And I'm a character gal. I mean, obviously, like I'm going to need some plot in there because otherwise what's the point? But like really character driven stories, I'm a big fan of. And so she does a great job with that.
Yes, I agree.
So it looks like, I think that's it, looking at my notes. So thank you so much for joining. And
of course.
This was a great one. Like it's hard to gauge whether a book's going to have a lot of talking points, like just from the synopsis. But I feel like this was a really good one, a really good convo too.
Yeah, I feel like we definitely had a lot of things to discuss and themes and things that we could touch on.
And I'll be sure to link your Instagram in the show notes too, so you can all go over to Bookstagram, give Tabitha a follow, and check out her content.